Right then, system lifecycle questions. Question 1. The first step in producing a new computer system is to investigate the existing system and produce a feasibility report. Describe the purpose of the feasibility report and what it should contain. Take 4 minutes. Right, let's see what you've got. Hopefully you've recognised that a feasibility report is an initial investigation. A decision is still yet to be made regarding whether or not this project being considered will actually go ahead into a full analysis of requirements, detailing problems with the current system, etc. So you need to state, a feasibility report is the summary of an initial investigation. But what does that really say? A summary of what? So expand into, summary of an initial investigation to look at the likelihood of being able to create a new system with stated aims and objectives at a reasonable cost. So that's what one is. Who uses it? The report is used by senior managers to assess whether it is worth continuing with the proposed project. And now you need to identify what the report will include. My advice is that you attempt to identify one of a technical, economic, and social feasibility factor. So bullet the contents as follows. Technical feasibility. And I've gone with details of any compatibility issues with the current system. Economic feasibility. A cost-benefit analysis of the new system by considering cost implications in terms of human resources, hardware, software, and training requirements. And for social feasibility, operational issues such as company restructuring, resulting in staff redundancies or relocation. Question 2. A systems analyst is investigating a company with regard to creating a new IT system. Describe 3 methods she would use to gather information about the existing system. Pause now for 9 minutes. Okay, this is textbook and was covered on the previous episode, so let's see what you've learnt. So, any 3 of interviews, questionnaires, observation, and inspection of records. No marks at all for stating those, but those are clearly the 4 areas that you're now going to expand upon. Now, this is a 9-mark question. And there are 3 techniques to describe. So the most appropriate structure of your answer is to describe and identify advantages and disadvantages. You're not going to earn 9 marks for simply explaining the 4 techniques. The question doesn't explicitly ask for advantages and disadvantages, but the clue in the number of marks on offer is that that is exactly what you should do. So present your 3 of the 4 techniques as titles, and then underneath each one, make sure that you cover an expansion of what the technique involves, and at least 1 advantage and 1 disadvantage. Clearly there is some crossover with the benefits and drawbacks of these techniques, and the trick in answering a question of this nature is to ensure that you don't rely on making the same point twice. An advantage of one technique could well be a disadvantage of another, but both will not be mark-worthy. So, interviews. Interviews with managers about the current system to find out about any problems. And the advantage I've gone with is detail. This would allow staff to provide fine detail about how the current system works and its limitations. The disadvantage is that it takes very skilled interviewers to draw out the correct information from people. Next then, questionnaires. Questionnaires could be given out to users to audit skills in order to identify training needs. The advantage? Questionnaires are economical to reproduce and distribute to collect information from a large number of staff. But the trouble is that questionnaires can have a low response rate, as people forget to fill them in. Also, respondents may misunderstand some of the questions. Observation. By shadowing an employee in order to find out directly how the current system operates and the flow of information. This has the advantage of allowing the analyst to see firsthand any time delays, crashes, or interruptions with the current system. The drawback is that it can be very time-consuming, i.e. it could take several weeks before all aspects have been met. You'll note that I didn't use the time-consuming disadvantage when I was describing interviews, and that was deliberately to withhold it because I wanted to cash in on that disadvantage for observation. And now finally, inspection of records. Studying the paper-based information, for example, organization charts, manuals, reports, minutes of meetings, to see what information is currently held and find faults in procedures. The advantage is that the presence of the researcher does not influence others, which you could expand as, people might work differently if being observed. The disadvantage is that documents can get misfiled or not get fully completed at all. Question 3. Discuss two of the different changeover strategies that the organisation could use for conversion to the new system. 6 marks. Okay, you should be comfortable by now when making a comparison to state advantages and disadvantages, not just to describe the techniques involved. And the easiest two to pick for this question is clearly direct and parallel. So, a direct changeover involves discontinuing using the old system one day and starting to use the new system the next day. The advantage is that fewer resources are needed. And you should expand that in terms of people, money, and equipment, and is a simple transition, providing nothing goes wrong. And the disadvantage? The drawback is that there is an element of risk. If the system fails, then it can be disastrous to the business, i.e., they might be unable to function. And now let's consider a parallel changeover. A parallel changeover involves running the old IT system alongside the new system until all the people involved with the new system are happy that it is working. And you could expand that into the results of the old and the new systems could be compared to be sure it is working properly. The advantage is that there is no risk to the business as the old system is still there to fall back on if the new one fails. The drawback is that there is lots of unnecessary work as the work is being done twice and is therefore expensive in terms of time. Now, you are only asked to compare two changeover methods, and in my view, direct and parallel are the easiest to compare. But for the sake of some extra revision, and in case your exam asks you to talk about phased and pilot conversion methods, let's consider what you might say. Phased conversion involves one module of a new system being implemented at a time. So the conversion to the new system is done gradually until the whole system is fully implemented. This approach has the advantage that IT staff can deal with any problems caused by a module before moving on to the next module. The drawback is that this approach is only suitable for systems consisting of separate modules, i.e., a fully integrated system could not be implemented in this way. And finally, a pilot conversion is ideal for large organisations that have lots of branches where the new system can be used by one branch and then transferred to other branches one at a time. The advantage is that implementation is on a much smaller and manageable scale, and so it is easier to ensure a smooth transition. The drawback is that it takes much longer to implement the new system across the whole organisation.